Thank you, sir. It is a pleasure to be able to do this, as I've said before many times. This morning, I was sitting over there before the first service, and this thought just came into my head. How many of you know what a battery is, right? Like in your car, you have a 12-volt battery, okay? Let's say you go buy a new 12-volt battery. It's all charged, ready to go. Throw it in your car. It'll last a long time. What happens when you buy that brand new battery? It's all charged. You bring it home. You throw it on the garage floor and the cement and leave it sit. It eventually dies. Why does it die? Because it's not being used. It's not being recharged. It's not being reused. It's not cycling. It's got to go through a cycle to stay alive. You get surface discharge. And that's kind of like the church. It's kind of like the people in here today. We get a good message, or God gives us something on Sunday or during the week. We leave this place, we keep it to ourselves. We store it up. Pretty soon, if we don't use it, we start losing it. If we don't continue to cycle it through our life, we will lose it. And we will eventually drain ourselves down to the point of being dead again. And for whatever reason, God showed me that this morning, and I thought it was very, very fitting. So today I'm going to talk about resurrection life. I've done this sermon once before. I've changed it up a bit. If it sounds familiar in spots, yes, I've done it before. But Jesus had just been to Jerusalem, okay, where the Jews had tried to kill him. They wanted to stone him because he was saying that he was their Messiah. People had seen Jesus perform wonderful miracles, and many had come to the faith in Jesus. After all this, he heads back across the Jordan, and many followed him along the way. While at the place where John the Baptist had been baptized and told many of Jesus in the early years, people finally came to the conclusion that all that John had said about Jesus was true. And many received that resurrection life by believing and being baptized. Jesus' ministry continued to grow. Anybody know how long Jesus' ministry was on the earth? Huh? Three? Did I hear three? You're the winner. 3 years. From the time he started to the time he was crucified, it was 3 years. Think of the impact he had on the world in 3 years. You know, when you're young, a year is very short. Or very long, I'm sorry. A year is very long. I must be getting older. Because Mom and Dad always told me, time flies when you get older. Well, I'm there. Because time flies. Seems like summer vacation is just about done. Well, not really a vacation. Summer time off. That's really time on. I don't know. But anyway, where was it going with that? Oh, thank you. Thank you. I like to get the crowd involved, reminding me what I said. Now, what I say? No. Okay. So, three years. Jesus changed the world in 3 years. Can you imagine what if a group of people who were grounded in God's Word, who were on fire for the Lord, would go out every day as Jesus went out, preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, help people in any way they can. Can you imagine what this country would look like, this world, if a small group of people would do that? God's Word changes lives. My scripture today is John 11, 1 through 53. No, I'm not going to read it all at once. I'm going to divide the scripture up into four different sections, okay? So my first section is going to be John 11, 1 through 16. And I will read. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, "Lord, your dear friend is very sick." But when Jesus heard about it, he said, "Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this." So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." But his disciples objected. "Rabbi," they said, "only a few days ago, the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going there again?" Jesus replied, "There are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light." Then he said, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up." The disciples said, "Lord, if he is asleep, he will soon get better." They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus was dead. So he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now, you will really believe. Come, let's go see him." Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let's go too and die with Jesus." All right, so the first fill in the blank is we need a special friend to trust and rely on. In verses 1 through 3, we see that Jesus not only has the 12 disciples as his friend, but has a special friendship with Mary, Martha, and especially Lazarus. Because when the sisters' word came to Jesus, it said, "Lord, your dear friend is very sick." I believe it is very important to have those special friends that you can trust and rely on, especially for pastors. Who can a pastor go to when they need to vent? Can you imagine listening to everyone's problems all the time and not being able to tell their problems to anyone? I want you to think about that. Think about being in a position of a pastor. Think about his congregation. He was hired, that is his job, to pastor the church, shepherd a church. He's the one responsible for that congregation, that body of believers. And when people have problems in their lives, they got to come to him. They want to come to him. And they want him to listen to them tell their story. And it gets to be built up in a pastor's life. A lot of stuff comes on to a pastor during those times. And he needs a place where he can also take his issues and pass them on to somebody else. He needs a friend. He needs a special friend. And I believe Lazarus was this friend to Jesus. I believe that they had discussions like that. Verse 4, notice how Jesus handles the news of Lazarus being sick. What is it that Lazarus does not do? Well, for one thing, he does not go around telling others how sick his friend is. Oh, my friend is so sick. My friend is so sick. So sick. He does not make it sound worse than it is. He doesn't get all on the gossip chain and say, well, yeah, he's pretty much dead. He's pretty much in the ground already. No, he doesn't do that. But today we do, in this world we live in, we love it. We love that bad news. We love to spread it around just as to anybody that'll listen. We slather it on the TV. We put it on the radio. We got websites like Facebook, whatever, and texting and Snapchat and Twitter and whatever, that we can get that bad news out there right now and we can tell the world. What a good thing that is. Why is it that the worse the news is, the more people want to listen? Whether it's true or not. If we hear bad news, we automatically believe it. Really? Oh. Jesus knew gossip was a killer. He knew His Father was the healer. So He said what He knew. He said, this sickness will not end in death. No. It is for God's glory. Notice He said that this sickness will not end in death. He didn't say Lazarus wouldn't die. He said it wouldn't end up that way. It's to glorify God through His Son. Jesus spoke words of faith over Lazarus before going to see him. Before going out in this world, we should speak words of faith. We should say, I'm going to have a great day today. I'm going to make it a great day today. I'm going to live like my Savior is alive in me. I'm going to live like I believe God's Word. Faith is an action. Verses 5 and 6, Jesus loved His friends dearly, but His earthly ministry was more important than friends and family. What do we think of that statement? Oh, I can't come to church today. I got to go do some family stuff. I spend some time with my family. What do you think of that statement? We tend to put a lot of things before God. We tend to put our lifestyles before God. We tend to put a lot of things before God. If we can't take out an hour for church on Sunday mornings, we got an issue. We have an issue. We need to take advantage of the daylight. In verses 9 and 10, Jesus says there are 12 hours in daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can be seen. They can see because they have the light of this world. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light. So, the disciples asked Jesus why he wanted to go back to where all the people wanted to stone him. The disciples were afraid of going back there to Bethany. Those people tried to take you out last time you were there, Jesus. And Jesus tells them, there's an appointed time to do your work. Regardless of the danger, the Lord's work has to be done. So Jesus wanted to do God's work. Yes, sometimes God's work can get us into some very uncomfortable and maybe sometimes unsafe situations. Jesus never said that He was going to send you into the safest place on this earth. Right? He never said that. He said, I'm going to send you out into every corner, every crack, every hill, every valley of this world. He never said, but just go to the safe places. So there is time to do the work. It's called daylight. What does he mean by that? I think it means that Jesus is with them. Let's go get it done. I, Jesus, am here with you. I'm the daylight. Let's go get it done. Let's go back over there. Let's finish out my ministry. We can see when we have that light. I compare the sunlight to Jesus. We have Jesus. We have the light right now. We have His Holy Spirit right now. His Holy Spirit is lighting the path for us that we need to take, each and every one of us. We need to be in tune with God. We need to be talking to God. We need to be asking Him, where's my path? Show me that path. Show me that light. I got work to do for you. I know it. Show me. And He will show you. He will direct you. But you have to be in contact with Him. This was Jesus' appointed time to do what His Father had laid out for Him. And nothing was going to stop Jesus from doing God's will. He soon would be facing the cross and the darkness would come. We here at BMZ Church are beginning to see the light grow stronger and stronger. And I say we are just beginning to see the light grow stronger and stronger. If you've noticed, this church is a pretty busy building. And we're pretty busy people. But we've only seen just a freckle of it. I believe God's going to move on this church. He is going to change. Not because it's us, but it's because there's people here willing and able to do God's work, who are obedient to God's will. If we let this world get too busy, if we let that push into our life, it will. It will consume us. It will consume all our time, everything. Our wants, our desires will consume us. We will take our wants, our desires over God's Word any day if we give it a foothold in our life. There are ministries that have started up in this church and people's lives are being changed because of God's Word preached unashamedly by the pastor, the staff, the purple people, the volunteers, the band members, and the janitors. Because of this, our space is growing smaller and smaller, and I hope that we take advantage of the daylight that we have and are willing to do whatever it takes to continue to move forward with God. Yes, but you say, well, I've seen this group of people and, you know, how do I know that it's God and not just a bunch of good people that are trying to push their agenda on me? How do you know that? Well, do you believe in the vision that this church has? Do you have faith in God that He's put the right people in place to do the work? If not, is one of those people you? Is it that you should be in here doing the will of God? Is it that He has a special place for each and every one of you in this church? I'll tell you what you do. Go around to the leadership, the people who are in leadership roles. Ask them. Ask them, why are they doing what they're doing? Because no normal person would sit in here for hours and hours. And I couldn't do it. That's why I'm not an office person. But the things we do here, we decorate for VBS, for Sunday school. We got volunteers that come in, hours and hours and hours of time spent getting ready for a bunch of kids to come in and just have a blast. We've got people who are right now with the little ones in the other room in there teaching God's Word. Why are they doing that? Wouldn't it be better to sit in here where the grown-ups are? No. If they're called to do it, they're going to get more out of teaching those kids than they are sitting listening to me. Another way is to get involved by joining a small group Bible study or becoming a purple person. Join up with the Helps Ministry. Once you've experienced God's resurrection life that only He can give and continue to grow in this life, you will know why BMZ is growing. Not only by numbers, but most importantly by faith in Jesus Christ. In verse 11, Jesus says, which is the next one, Jesus says, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go wake him up. Remember what He said falling asleep meant? It meant Lazarus was dead. Okay? Why are some churches in America closing? Why are some of the doors of these churches, these places, closing up? Because they've taken their eye off of the prize. It's because they no longer desire to dig in the Scriptures. They no longer have God's Holy Spirit lighting them up. It's gone. Why? Because church has started to become about me. Well, if you do it that way, it ain't going to work. I'll see to it that it don't work. I'll make it miserable for you. I have to look good in my church. I have to. Churches have fallen asleep across America. They need to experience. They need to experience Jesus, His Holy Spirit, the resurrection life, to wake them up again. In verse 14, Jesus said, Lazarus is dead. Verse 15, and for your sake, I am glad I wasn't there. Doesn't that sound nice? For now, you will really believe. Come, let's go see. So Jesus tells the disciples, jump in the boat. And Thomas says, yeah, let's go with Jesus and die. We're going to the other side of the lake, the other side of the Jordan. Because Lazarus is dead. And then Jesus says, I'm glad we weren't there. Because now you will see God's power. For now you will really believe. Come, let's go see. So, why do we always have to see to believe? In John 20, verse 29, Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believe." That's us. We're blessed. We're blessed because we haven't seen Jesus, but yet we believe. Why do we believe? That's a question for you. Has He revealed Himself to you through His Word? Has the Holy Spirit really given you a shot in the soul? Have you become, when you kneel down or sit down or you your praying position, however it may be, when you're talking to God, do you just sense His presence around you? Do you just feel that holy hug from God as you take time out of our busy schedule to sit before Him? We are blessed. Next one is we need to keep from being distracted by our situations. Verses 17 through 32. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been dead. He had already been in the grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem. Many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet with Him. But Mary stayed in the house. Martha had said to Jesus, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha says, "he will rise again when everyone else rises at the last day." Now look at that. In verse 23, "Your brother will rise again." Martha's been with Jesus. She's seen these miracles that this guy's awesome. He's healed the lepers. He's healed blind people. He's healed deaf people. He's made the lame walk. This guy can do anything, right? We need to take this as Jesus' word. We need to take it as His word. We need to take Him at His word. Yes, He will rise when everyone else rises, the last day. We tend to think that we know everything. Martha thought that. "Yeah, Jesus, I know He's going to rise again the last day. Yeah. Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in Me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in Me and believes in Me will never, ever die." Do you believe this, Martha? "Yes, Lord," she told Him. "I have always believed You are the Messiah, the Son of God, the One who has come into this world from God." Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, "The teacher is here and wants to see you." So Mary immediately went to Him. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met Him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep. So they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at His feet and said, "Lord, if only You had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping. Well, we'll stop there. All right. So, we need to keep from being distracted by our situations. Jesus arrives and finds Lazarus to have been in the tomb for 4 days. Let's see. Did I ever do that? No. All right. He'd been in the ground for 4 days. So Lazarus must have died before even getting word to Jesus. The people were gathering from Jerusalem to comfort Mary and Martha. So there's this crowd of people that are coming around there. And Martha, she's thinking, I got to feed these people. Right? Because in Luke, it talks about when Jesus comes to visit Mary and Martha and Mary and Lazarus at their house. And Martha gets all hysterical and tells Jesus, this is wrong. I shouldn't have to do all this work by myself. Mary should help me. This ain't right. Does that sound like today? I've got all this work to do by myself. Nobody's helping me. I'm getting tired of it. I want to quit. Nobody feels sorry for me. Nobody. I know how it is. Some days I feel that way too. We need to keep from being distracted. Things in our life are so hectic. There's so many things in this world today that are bombarding our kids. You know, I find it really strange that we think it's cool to walk around all the time with a cell phone in our hand, texting people and Snapchatting, and people are gonna die because of this. They walk out in the traffic, they drive while they're doing it. The other day I saw somebody texting and following a police car. They had their phone right up here, they were following the police car around. You know what we need to do with that is shut it off when we're in the car. That'd make sense, wouldn't it, Brian? Just shut it off. That way you don't know if anybody's calling you or texting you or anything. It's off. Then when you get to your destination, turn it back on. It's got a power switch. Isn't that neat? It comes on and it goes off. We don't need to know everything all the time right now. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. That is one of the biggest distractions there is. We just got to have this information. As soon as it rolls off their lips, we should have it. No matter where we are in this world, we should have it. Did you know what she said to him? Did you know what he said, she said, he said? Who cares? Does that have anything to do with your life? No. It's a distraction. And devil's using that thing in a big way. He has grabbed a hold of that and he's pushing for all he's worth. He does not want this young generation that's coming up today to know and to live for God. He's going to try to deceive them. Yes, I believe technology will be a great thing for the gospel. We can get that gospel across this nation, this world, quick. But we need to use it for the right stuff. We need to quit complaining. If you'd have been here, Jesus, Lazarus would not have died. Man, isn't that just like us? Well, you know, if you'd have been here, if you'd have been doing your job, this wouldn't have happened. If you'd have done it like this, like I told you to, because I know the right way to do it, it wouldn't have happened. Really? We like to think that we know a lot. Look at Martha. She just got done telling Jesus, yeah, you know, I believe in you. That's when resurrection life came into her. But before that, she says, if you'd only been here, Jesus, he'd have lived. Why couldn't you have been here with us? What are you doing? Walking around all over this place? Don't you know what the important things are in life? Friends, family, you know. Jesus wanted Martha to see that his ministry was important. He waited 3 days before he came, because he knew that God would do a miracle through him. Remember, Jesus said that the only words that I speak, I get from God. So God fed him words the whole time he was on this earth. God told his son what to say. Jesus knew that God would raise Lazarus. And it would bring glory to Jesus and his name and his Father. Have those words come from your lips today or any time in the past? Those words of, I believe you are the Christ. I believe you are the Son of the living God. I believe you are the resurrection and the life. I believe you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I believe you are who you say you are. All right. Verse 28 through 32. So Mary hears that Jesus is there and she runs and falls to Jesus' feet. Maybe today we need to fall at His feet. Is there something in your life that doesn't agree with God's Word? Maybe the Holy Spirit is showing you something that you need to change in your life, because it is taking your focus off of God and onto it, whatever it may be. Maybe today you need that resurrection life to raise you out of the darkness and into the marvelous light that is only found in Jesus. In verses 33 through 44, it says, when Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. Where have you put him? Jesus asked them. They told him, Lord, come and see. Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing by said, see how much he loved him. But someone said, this man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? There's some critical thinking, right? Critical thinking. Call that stinking thinking. Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb, a cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. Roll the stone aside, Jesus told him. But Martha, dead man's sister protested, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible. Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all those people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out! And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in headcloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Right. So in that section of Scripture, we find the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. I don't believe that Jesus wept for Lazarus. He knew what he was going to do. He knew that Lazarus was going to be raised from the dead. I believe that he was weeping for the Jewish people who have rejected him as their Messiah. Some of the Jewish gossipers saw him weeping and said, look how much he loved him. If he loved him that much, why didn't this man who opened the eyes of the blind keep his friend from dying? Well, they're about to find out why. With a loud voice, Jesus says, take away the stone! Guess who pipes up in the background? It's Martha. What? Don't open it! Man, it stinks! What are you doing, Jesus? Think about it! Are you using your head? Are you using common sense? How many times do we not do things because we think, well, common sense would tell me. Common sense is, whatever. If you feel God leading you to do something, obviously you don't want to jump out in front of something, but, you know, you don't want to do bodily injury. If it comes from God, it's going to be all right. Sometimes we don't do things because we think common sense is telling us otherwise. But look how much Jesus loved His ministry. He loved doing God's Word. So when He said, take away the stone, He took one big step there. Common sense wasn't in His thought. He said, if I take this step, God's going to work. He took that step by faith saying that, knowing that God was going to do something great. Take away the stone. Martha says, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Isn't it sad how quick we lose what we've been given by opening our mouths before engaging our brain? Martha had just told Jesus that she believed in Him. Oh, how this must hurt Jesus. You ever find yourself in that position? When you sit in church and He says, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And you go out into this world and you say the opposite. You ever think about what that does? You ever think maybe we're putting those nails back in Jesus' hands? That crown of thorns back on His brow? You ever think we're taking up that whip that's laced with bones and stones and tearing it into His side? Do you ever think of that? I wonder if He still feels those nails, that spear in His side. Verse 41, Jesus thanks His Father in advance for what He is going to do. And then Jesus cries out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And He did. That resurrection life that flows where Jesus is, flowed into Lazarus. And He comes out still bound in His grave clothes. But did you catch that at the end? Jesus did not remove the grave clothes. Instead, He made it possible for someone else to be a part of His ministry by removing the grave clothes. How many times do we get... And I think that's a big thing why people don't volunteer. They're afraid they're going to get into something dirty and they don't want to do it. Something that they feel uncomfortable doing. Sometimes we need to get our hands dirty in ministry. Maybe there are people here today who need that. Maybe there's somebody here today that needs to get their hands dirty. Maybe there's somebody here that wants to get their hands dirty in ministry but don't know how to ask. We have staff who would love to help you out. If there's something that you're desiring to do on your merge card, that's why we have these, so that you can communicate with us and we know what's going on. But you can write that in on your merge card, something you want to help with. We need to get our hands dirty in ministry. All right. 45 through 53. We're on the home stretch now. Many of the people who were with Mary believed in Jesus when they saw this happen. But some went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the leading priests and Pharisees called the high council together. "What are we going to do?" they asked each other. "This man certainly performs many miraculous signs. If we allow him to go on, soon everyone will believe in him. Then the Roman army will come and destroy both our temple and our nation." Caiaphas, who was high priest at the time, said, "You don't know what you're talking about. You don't realize that it's better for you that one man should die for the people than for the whole nation to be destroyed." Now, he did not say this on his own as high priest at the time. He was led to prophesy that Jesus would die for the entire nation. And not only for that nation, but to bring together and unite all the children of God scattered around the world. All right. So from that time on, the Jewish leaders begin to plot Jesus' death. All right. Now, because of what Jesus had done, many of the Jews believed. There was great things happening. His church was growing. People were getting excited for him. They were beginning to catch hold of the vision that Jesus was given. But just like when things are going great in church, ministries are growing up or starting up, people are getting excited, people's lives are being changed, the church is growing, there are those who want to cause trouble and division, and they usually take aim at the leader. Jesus had the same issue wherever he went. There was always a few of the people who had ulterior motives. Those who had ulterior motives went back to the Pharisees and told them what had happened. "This guy's doing too many good things we can't do. They're going to take their eyes off us and put them onto him. And then what are we going to do? Our church is going to die." Jesus made the Pharisees very uncomfortable. People had been blind from birth, now can see because of the name of Jesus. People who have been in the grave for 4 days have come back to life because of the name of Jesus. The Pharisees couldn't have Jesus doing all these good works because the people will all start to follow him and they would lose all their status. They'd have to update their status on Facebook. That'd be shame. I believe some of the Pharisees believed that Jesus was who He said He was. But if they were going to join in with Jesus, they would lose all their good benefits that they had when they were with the Pharisees. They'd worked so hard for it. They were climbing their ranks in the American dream. I guess they didn't have the American dream back then. Jerusalem dream or something. This is the problem with this so-called American dream that we have. That we strive for the American dream. People come to America for the American dream. It's such an awesome dream. What does the fox say? What does the farmer say? Work, 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 work. Oh, for you older people, I'm sorry. When you get to hang around young adults, you learn a lot of weird things. And you see some weird YouTube videos and it's work. American dream, simply put. Work, 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 so you can get. Let people see me. I'm living the American dream. And I'm in debt over my eyeballs. And it's so much fun. Love it! No. It's not all it's cracked up to be. We rob God. When we go into debt, when we go into a large amount of debt, we are to pay that debt back. If we have debt, we don't have money to give anymore. We say that, well, God, I have worked at my job. I'm a good worker. I have a good work ethic. I make money. I have a nice house. I have nice vehicles. I really can't give you 10%. That's unheard of. I can't afford it. It's not in my budget. We always design a budget wrong. Let's think of ourselves. We need to start out with God. I make this much, God gets this much, we live off the rest. How is America going to be a prosperous nation if we continue to neglect God's church, the body of Christ? We have allowed people to snuff out the work of the Holy Spirit. They get uncomfortable because they cannot control things the way they want it. We have allowed people to gossip about the pastors, leaders, and about good things that are taking place in the church. Gossip is not going to grow a church, I hate to tell you. We have allowed people to gossip. Well, I already said that. Gossip is not going to grow the church. When gossip comes in, it brings its old buddy division with him. And those two are from Satan. Gossip and division. Those are two things that do not belong to God. And when we use them, we're giving Satan a place in our life. Because if he sees us, when we hear something, changing it up, spitting it back out, he says, ha-ha, found a Christian, claiming to be a Christian, will spit stuff out for me. And he will use that person. So when you feel like gossiping, I hope there's a little check mark that comes up in your mind and you think, wait a minute. No, I don't want to give Satan this. No. Don't do it. The devil loves to bring both of these to a thriving church, especially those churches that have no resistance from the believers. Who's willing to pray for this church? Who's willing to pray for the church in America today and come against the enemy and say, you will not have your way in this church. You will be gone from here in Jesus' name. Jesus' name is above everything. There is nothing that is above Him. So, just like when Lazarus walked out of that grave, the rejoicing took place because somebody's brother was dead and now he's alive. Blessed with resurrection life. Someone couldn't stand it that this good deed had been done. This caused division between the ones who were hungry for the truth and those who wanted to control. Jesus, you can't do that right now. You'll have to wait. Jesus did it on His time, and He got real. The people saw it, and they praised Him. So, we need to stop gossiping. All right. Last page, promise. Let me ask you this question today. When you are out and about during this week, and you hear people using the name of Jesus Christ inappropriately, what is your reaction? What goes through your mind when somebody uses the name of Jesus to swear, whatever? They're using it inappropriately. Does it make you feel uncomfortable or doesn't it bother you at all? The answer to those questions you will have to answer by yourself, between you and God. So what about when you hear people in the community talking badly about what is happening at BMZ? Do you stand up for our church and share in the vision? Or do you agree with the gossip? Therefore saying, come on in, Satan. I want to be division. Or do you just walk away, say, I know different, thank you. We as a church need to be in unity, following the path that God has stretched out before us. We need to stand strong against the enemy and let God's resurrection life shine through us, and this entire world will see it. When we leave and go out into our businesses, our jobs, whatever, our life beyond these doors, we need to be a shining example of Jesus Christ Himself. That's why we need to know God's Word. That's why we need to be mirrors of Jesus. We need to reflect Him. We need to know His love, His compassion. We need to know His grace and His mercy. We also need to know things that He don't like gossip, division, slander. We need to know them as well. We need to know who we are in Jesus Christ. We need to know that we are more than conquerors through Him. We need to know that we are above. We are not beneath. We need to know that we have all of heaven behind us. We need to know that we have some power on this earth. We need to know that we are not weaklings. we are created in the image of Almighty God. And when we accept Him into our life, we start acting like Him. We start doing what His Word says. We'll change people's lives without them even talking to us. Finally, as I finish up this morning, I have one scripture to share. And this scripture is a prayer. Okay? It is a prayer written by Paul to the believers of Ephesus. I'm going to pray this for you, but I want you to write this scripture down and go home and pray it for yourself every day. So in the last fill in the blank, it's Ephesians 1, 17 through 23. This is a very powerful prayer. If you pray it and mean it, continue to pray it and mean it. Let God know that you mean it. Things will change. Your relationship will grow stronger with God. Good things will happen. So let's pray. Our glorious Heavenly Father, I pray that You would give to us a spirit of wisdom and insight so that we may grow in the knowledge of God. I pray that our hearts will be flooded with light so that we can understand the confident hope You have given us, Your church that You have called, Your holy people who shared in Your rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that we will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him high at God's right hand in heavenly places. Lord Jesus, You are far above any ruler and authority, any power or leader, or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. And God, You have put all things under the authority of Christ and have made Him the head over all things for the benefit of us, Your church. And we are Your body, Lord Jesus, made full and complete by You, filling all things, everywhere, with Yourself. In Jesus' name.